Wendy, I look forward to this all year, not just watching the Super Bowl ads, but breaking them down with our friend Dennis Ryan. Dennis is a digital marketing consultant, one of the top ad guys this city or the Midwest or the world has ever known. Hello, Dennis.
Hello, Bill. Hello, Wendy. How are you?
We couldn't be better. Dennis, here's my plan. I'm going to ask you one really intelligent question, and then the rest of my questions will be really silly and childish. Are you okay with that?
I would have it no other way.
Good. All right, so here's the intelligent question, I hope. How do you play the sex sells game in a year where there's been so much sexual scandal and so many problems, you can't go sex sells on the Super Bowl because you'll end up looking bad, correct?
Absolutely. Yeah, the best way to just don't play. It's kind of a dull thing to do anyway. It pretty much just says you don't have any other ideas. But, this has been very politicized. And candidly, I think it's really cool to see the NFL actually do very well with their ad with Eli Manning and, Odell Beckham Jr.
That was adorable.
Everyone loved it, although the teasers were weird. I couldn't figure out what was going on, but once they started dancing, the magic happened.
So that's their game plan, though, right, is to give you little pieces of the puzzle and you don't know what the complete picture is until the end, and then you go, oh, okay, now it all makes sense. That's their game, right?
That was definitely their game. I don't think it really helped them. I think it kind of confused people, but, sometimes you can really build things that way, and it works pretty well. I mean, Tide was all over the place.
Four
quarters, yeah. And, again, you started, I was actually caught by two of them. I literally thought it was going to be a Budweiser Clydesdale spot, and then the Stranger Things guys pops out, and he's hilarious.
So David Harbour is the actor's name. They establish early on that any of the ads you see could be Tide ads. They kind of set that up early, and then throughout the game, some of them are and some of them aren't. But didn't you find yourself watching the ad saying, I wonder if this is or isn't? I kept doing that during the game.
Absolutely, and that's why it was such – that was probably the only truly surprising ad or campaign idea on the Super Bowl, and it was tremendous. I mean, it's taking a bit of a risk because you have to pay attention to catch the whole premise. But if you do, exactly what you said, Bill, everything you're watching, you're thinking, is he going to pop in now? It's a wonderful reinterpretation of the old Energizer Bunny idea.
So a couple of those, they use the people. I'll use the Old Spice guy as
great.
An example. You saw it, Wendy.
Yeah.
All right. So what do they have to do with the original ad people? Do they have to go to the Old Spice ad people and go, hey, we're going to kind of borrow your guy, we're going to borrow your theme, or does that not have to happen?
No, where they have to go is they have to go to the client, and I think, I'm not 100% sure, but I think they're both owned by Procter & Gamble, which makes that particular one easy to do. But what was interesting is they went further afield and combined with Budweiser and things like that they're not related to. There were, I'm sure there were lawyers on all sides paying very close attention to that.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the messages of loveliness that we saw at the very beginning, the Paralympics. That was great. There was, I believe, a Hyundai commercial that people that were suffering and dealing with cancer came out. That was so touching and beautiful. And I loved the Steven Tyler one. That, to me, was my favorite one for Kia. He's going back in time to stop looking like a frosted-haired L.A. grandma, which is what he looks like now.
Yeah, I like that a lot. It was pretty fun.
Was that computer generated to make him look younger, or was that like a look-alike actor? Because it was kind of there, but not really as his younger self.
I'm not 100% sure, but I would bet it was a combination. I did a Google search of Stephen King early, old photos, and there's one photo in
particular. Stephen Tyler.
All right,
yeah.
Stephen King would be weirder.
Up in that new Netflix show, right?
Yeah.
Maybe that's why I got really weird results. Anyway, there's a photograph. If you image search, you'll see what they used as their inspiration.
Oh, okay.
Because it's pretty cool.
So to Wendy's point, would you agree, Dennis, that they went out of their way to try to be a little inspirational through not all the ads, but many of the ads? That seemed to be a reoccurring theme, is to inspire this year.
There's no question. And they did it with varying effectiveness. I thought Verizon's first responder ad was
terrific.
Good. you know, and I think it was just the raw emotion in real audio was, you know, you're hearing people who are genuinely grateful for being alive and credit someone else for it. And it's really powerful because it feels so authentic. I think where people, you know, you start seeing stuff on social media about people thinking they're going to do positive messages and they either come off as trite or in the Dodge Ram case.
Yes.
Really ill-considered by some.
Martin Luther King, his speech, why in the world? Why? I don't really understand that. That bothered me that they're trying to sell a car, or a truck, rather, the Ram. Bad.
Well, you're not alone in that, Wendy, but you know, just to take the other side for a moment, if you listen to that speech, and you can find, it's called The Drum Major's Instinct, you can find it on YouTube. It's 38 minutes long, but if you just listen to his words, they're beautiful. I had never heard this speech before. And the notion that, hey, we're going to celebrate service, we're going to expand the definition beyond simply military service to talk about service of all kinds, and they're proud to serve, and isn't this beautiful? And then, can you imagine it? The speech was delivered for the first time exactly 50 years to the day of the broadcast. So you can hear people talking themselves into it. The problem is, if you listen to the speech and you go through it, he specifically cites the dangers of commercialism, and he makes his example by talking about the cost of a car. And you got a truck that goes about $38,000. That's an issue. And, you know, so I think that was all the best intentions, but there's no doubt having a, you know, a major figure like him reduced to shilling trucks is a problem.
Dennis, remind me, it's escaping me whose voice they used a couple of years ago, but there was an ad, a powerful ad a couple of years ago, where they used somebody else, some major figure from history's words, to underline an ad. Do you remember who that was? Because I can't.
I think it was God Made a Farmer, and I'm trying to think who that was. Is that the old radio? Who was
Paul Harvey? It was Paul Harvey. That's it exactly. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. So that was Paul Harvey, and again, that was another speech they appropriated. However, you know, Paul Harvey in page two is a lot less than Martin Luther King.
Sure.
Dreams. So,
of course.
Yeah.
I had read a couple of days ago, Dennis, that because of the political climate that we're all experiencing right now, ad companies were going out of their way to not be political. But in a way, being as inspirational as some of the ads were, that was kind of a way of being political while still playing it safe, right?
That was exactly the intent. I mean, you know, we all know this country has been divided by social media, whatever was the cause of it. We've become more polarized. And so this is a stage, one of the very, actually the only remaining media vehicle where you can gather 110 million people and they'll actually pay attention. There's nothing else that gives you that. And it was $5 million for 30 seconds. It's crazy. So think about it, to run that Amazon ad was $15 million, and that's before you pay for, you know, Cardi B and Gordon Ramsay and everybody else. It's amazing. So this whole trying to be positive, I think that's a lot of people want to see groups together as opposed to divisiveness. It's just, you know, social media seems to only have two settings. There's off and there's outraged. Yeah.
So. You mentioned $5 million for 30 seconds, and Skittles decided to bail this year. And their campaign was they were going to show one person their Super Bowl ad, and then they were going to stream the live reaction on Facebook. Now, I will tell you, I did go to Facebook and searched Skittles, and I saw the kid sitting there watching it. But then the real commercials were going on, so he smiled, but I didn't stick around to figure out what was going on. So did that flop?
You know, Wendy, this is the problem with the digital activation, the multi-channel experience. You know, to do that, you have to give something up. And so, yeah, I don't think it did particularly well. I think it probably did okay for them because of all the advanced PR they got on it and those images of Schwimmer dressed up and so goofily. And it was kind of an offbeat idea, but you know, compared to, are you going to watch that, or are you going to watch something actually happening on your big screen? Well, you know, it's not going to win.
I don't even know the outcome of the Skittles commercial.
Yeah,
no, so it didn't work
that's
for
the
me.
Other thing. It's a lot of these are very clever ideas. I mean, there were a lot of clever ideas last night that were almost too clever, and you really had to pay attention to them very closely to kind of get anything out of it. I mean, the idea of using Chris Pratt, who's likable, I thought he was a great fit for Michelob Ultra and everything else. But at the same point, look, we're going to use Chris Pratt, but then we're going to put him in the background. That's kind of a meta idea, but you know, it's Chris Pratt, for crying out loud. Let's see him. He's funny, you know. And so I thought the one spot worked pretty well. And the other one, you kind of resent the fact that in pursuit of this idea, they kind of missed the headline.
Dennis, I thought that with the Chris Pratt, Michelob, and then Bill Hader had an ad. And I was thinking to myself, those rise and fall on whether or not those people are truly likable. If you don't like those people, that's lost on you. But if you're a fan of them, you go, I'm eating this up.
And
absolutely.
Did you need, excuse me, but did you need Bill Hader? I love him. I loved seeing him. But when I thought about it, those little
could've
goofy
been
characters.
Anyone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's that is a $1 million question. I mean, likability in casting is everything. And I don't think they'll learn their lesson. Diet Coke with their mom jean wearing kind of look at how awkward I am woman came in dead last in the ad meter.
Oh, did it? Yeah.
Yeah. And again, it's trying so hard to look how kicky an individual I am. But, you know, it protests too much. And she just didn't come across as that likable. And compare her to the woman on the Groupon ads. I mean, the Groupon ad was basically an excuse to, you know, kick a football in the guy's shorts.
Mm-hmm.
But the woman took such glee in it and her performance. She was just really likable with a kind of a nothing part. And so I think that is a big determinant of the enjoyability of comedy or really any other spot.
Dennis Ryan is our guest. We're talking ads, specifically the ads from yesterday from the Super Bowl. If you want to join in, you can. We're at 312-981-7200. We'll be back after this with more. And thanks, Dennis. Stick around. Our favorite ad guy of all time, Dennis Ryan, joins us to talk about yesterday's Super Bowl ads. What'd you see? What'd you like? What didn't you like? 312-981-7200. Dennis, help me with this, because I thought I saw this, but it's impossible. I thought I saw Danny DeVito walking around some city streets asking people if they would eat him. That's not possible, is it?
That's it's not just only possible, it's highly disturbing, and yet it happened, and it was caught on film.
Yep.
He makes the best M&M ever. Can I just say that?
You know what? There were some terrific casting calls last night, and he is front and center of all of them. You're exactly right.
You know who else
you know
was?
I loved, and Bill, I figured you might like this, the whole avocados with their kind of dated reference to the biodome, but it was really funny.
Yeah.
And I love the line, we will have everything you could possibly want, and they cut to a Chris Elliott book signing.
Yeah, that was great.
Laugh out loud.
That was really fantastic.
Yeah, because it's so subtle. It's such a small element of it, but for the people who are paying very close attention, what a nice little payoff, huh?
And I think that's how so much of those really the funnier spots worked on really great asides. I mean, the Bud Light thing, we've seen it. We kind of know where it's going, but it's got great casting. It has really funny kind of throwaway lines. And I think that's, you know, it just makes it a fine Super Bowl commercial.
Pizza Hut did a little Domino's joke in their ad and actually called attention to it. You saw that, right?
No, I don't remember.
I didn't see this either.
All right, so early on in the game, Pizza Hut's doing an ad. It's the one with Terrell Owens where he's a professional boaster. And he said something along the lines of, well, most of you are just sitting around playing dominoes. And then one of the characters goes, I see what you did. That was very funny. Yeah,
that is funny.
That is good. Actually, I like that kind of thing better than, you know, Wendy's, who's got the really snarky, very funny Twitter account. Basically, they broadcast that on the Super Bowl with their kind of McDonald's attack ads. And it's weird. I mean, you know, what works in Twitter, I don't think worked particularly well on television, and they were kind of really dull to look at.
But right.
It just didn't quite translate, you know, and it came across as kind of mean and cheap. It was weird.
Right. Agreed on all counts. There was also quite a bit of playing up women's achievements, especially the Olympic ads for NBC, showing women coming from sort of humble beginnings and proving themselves and being Olympic athletes. I like that. I know it fits under the guise of inspirational again, but I thought that those were very effective.
I actually think the Olympic ads were some of the best ads on the whole broadcast.
Yeah,
they really were.
The Shaun White thing, the figure skater, Lindsey Vonn. I mean, again, Lindsey Vonn and Shaun White both have a similar story in that they're veterans. They've come back from horrific injuries. I mean, and it is inspirational. I mean, they're back out still doing it in their third and fourth Olympics. I thought those were very well done. And
was Nathan Chen one of them also where there's a hockey team there and they get off the ice and they're looking at him practicing like, oh, that was great.
Exactly. I thought, and again, that I think that was just a beautiful, it hit a ton of nerves. And I thought, you just realize, you know, the respect for athletes and the commitment. It was, I thought those were really tremendous ads.
I got to go along with the Steven Tyler one that I enjoyed. I got one word for you, Dinklage. Peter Dinklage and Morgan Freeman were fantastic.
You know, Peter Dinklage cops false anger better than anyone in the world. He is amazing. And, yeah, I thought that was just, they were both very, it was a bizarre team up, but again, it's all Pepsi companies and brands, so it works. But it was very funny. And, you know, being that the Super Bowl was locally here in Minneapolis, and that is a corporate fest like you have never seen. They had over 1,100 private planes flying in.
Really?
And it was nuts. And what it did to our relatively small city was it was a total takeover. But you could not get away from free bags of bold flavored Doritos or Blaze flavored or whatever they were.
Oh, and that's the only reason you lived there, right, Dennis? Was to get some free Doritos.
I've got 673 bags now, Bill. So if you need a couple, just
oh, you're back. The best. Thank you. That's very kind of you, Dennis. What goes into something as ambitious as what Kraft did yesterday? It wasn't the best ad of the night, far and away, but it was a very interesting thing. Early in the game, they asked people to send them pictures of their family or videos, and then later in the show, you got to see those play out in a commercial. There's a lot going into that, isn't there?
There would have been a bunch of years ago.
Not anymore?
The technology to do that, you have in your MacBook. I mean,
really?
I thought, you know, it was a nice thought. It was certainly nice. It just wasn't particularly good to look at. Didn't really find any insights, because you probably won't when you're slamming something together within the space of an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And personally, I have a problem with using family as a verb, but that's just me. You know, I could see what they were doing. What I thought was far better was, did you watch This Is Us after the game?
Yes.
They incorporated the game footage into the show.
Wasn't that awesome?
Was magical.
Dennis, I had to go back and rewatch it. There's a scene in the hospital where the game is playing, and I go, I think that's what happened in the game. And I went back and rewatched it, and it was. That was amazing.
Exactly. That to me, and again, it wasn't calling attention to it. It was just a brilliant kind of verite moment. You know, the Kraft thing was nice. It's a nice thought again. But again, it's simply an execution. There's really hard to make that memorable. But, you know, there you go.
All right. We have to have one caller on this one. And Paul wants to talk. Paul, what did you like last night?
So I got a kick out of Jeff Goldblum when they were doing the Jurassic Park thing. And they didn't. And what makes it so interesting for me is they actually took the scene from the original Jurassic Park where he's driving in the Jeep Rubicon, and they seamlessly intertwined it with the current Jeff Goldblum. And he's driving off, and then finally he snaps out of it, and they say, would you like to take it for a test drive? He goes, I just did.
I thought it was a promo for a new Jurassic Park. I got sucked
well,
into
it. Well, it serves as both.
I guess, it's a
Jeep commercial and a promo for the movie. What do you think,
good.
Dennis?
No, I agree. It's a promo for both. I thought it was really clever, and to your point, it was beautifully seamless. And again, you talk about likability. Jeff Goldblum, particularly in that role, he's a pretty likable guy, and I thought it was a lot of fun. I really liked that. I felt badly for Jeep later. You know, I drive a Wrangler, and, you know, that demonstration of it driving through a stream and up a waterfall.
I loved that.
I thought it was great. Unfortunately, they called it the anti-manifesto and talked about how, you know, we're not going to come up with highfalutin words, and yet a quarter earlier, Jeep ran an ad that was a manifesto. And
yeah, right.
It was having it both ways. But I think even worse was it came on the heels of Matt Damon talking about clean water.
Oh, yeah.
That's true.
Bad timing.
You got Matt Damon saying clean water, and then you're driving a carbon emission machine through a mountain stream.
Thank you, Paul.
It was unfortunate.
Now, do we know what that black screen was? I know there was a little technical difficulty, and I wonder if a major ad failed to run at that one moment in the Super Bowl. Do you have any idea?
I've looked that up. I haven't really seen a straight answer yet.
Somebody needs a refund.
Oh, boy. At that cost, I'm sure they will demand it. But I don't know. It was very strange. And, you know, especially with the amount of money on the line, that was a pretty big error.
Absolutely. Dennis, now that all is said and done, you've seen all the ads. Would you say that this year's were a good bumper crop of ads or not, or somewhere in the middle?
I think it's always somewhere in the middle. I mean, this is the problem. I think we talked about this last year. I always relate it to Saturday Night Live. You know, oh, the early years of Saturday Night Live were geniuses.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't. There were some genius spots, and there was a bunch of filler that really wasn't that good.
Yeah.
And that's going to happen with anything like this, particularly when we're so used to staying in our bubble. We're so used to, oh, I like this and this and this, and that's what I see because I can create my own network. This is the biggest broadcast event. It almost feels like a holdover from, say, 15 years ago when we didn't have choice of what to watch and when. And so it's odd to try to reach 110 million people and get them aligned on one idea when we're so used to being hyper-individual. So I think it's interesting to watch people struggle to really do Super Bowl-style messaging when most messages are much more customized and audience-specific than that these days.
Makes sense. Dennis, always fun to talk to you. Thank you so much for spending time with us.
Great fun. Thank you, Wendy. Thank you, Bill.
Thanks, Dennis.
Take care. It's Dennis Ryan, everybody. Ad genius. There, I said
him.
It. He's nice. He's a nice man. We'll take a quick break. We got some news for you and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.